Happy Friday, everybody. We've made it through another week. I can't believe it's already July 31st. It seems like the first 2-3 months couldn't get through it fast enough. And all of a sudden, bam, tomorrow's August. But happy to have you along the show here. Thank you so much for tuning in. Of course, it's Friday. Our pal Terry will join us over the phone here in the next segment. Next hour, our pal Rick will join us with whatever is on his mind. I'm not even going to try to guess anymore. Not that I was guessing in the past, but I'm not even going to think about it. But can't wait to see what is on his mind when he gets in here. And, of course, a lot to talk about in the world of the NHL. We'll jump into that in the second hour as well, with their restart kicking off tomorrow with a full slate of the play-in games. Because you have the top four playing in the qualification series, and you have seeds 5 through 12 playing in the play-in best-of-5 series. So that slate starts tomorrow, so we'll take a look at that, as well as give you some predictions for the qualifying and play-in rounds for the NHL. And then, of course, we'll also take a look at some racing, Formula One, NASCAR, IMSA on the track this weekend. So we'll take a look at that. And then, of course, some baseball and football news as well. But where else can we start? I mean, really, besides the world of basketball, after last night, after seeing two incredibly fun games being played out, it was just like seeing MLS or European soccer or baseball coming back. It's just fun to see live action in front of you again. And I loved the setup as well. I thought it all looked really clean with the way the benches were spaced out. I mean, obviously we had seen photos of the seats before and watching some scrimmages before, but still that looks just really clean to have the players with their own kind of space between one another, to have that huge video board back there, to really see that come into play here as the season gets going. Just to really clean look, I think, from the NBA in terms of how they set that all up. And really, the games didn't disappoint either. It started off with the Utah Jazz and the New Orleans Pelicans. Again, a game that really kind of went back and forth throughout the whole period. But I think, you know, how ironic. I think it was going around the Twitter sphere last night. But obviously the season gets shut down because Rudy Gobert test positive. I think he was the first or one of the first Jazz players to score. And then, of course, he has the go-ahead free throws towards the end of the game there to put him up 106-104. But my gosh, I mean, what a great game. What a fun game to have back. Even though, you know, when you watch New Orleans, you hope to see the Zion Williamson show take over. And there were times, obviously, the dunk that he had there in the first half when he was, after he'd gotten shut down by Rudy Gobert, the possession or a few possessions before, comes right back and just throws down a jam there in the paint. So fun to watch him, even though it was in bursts. He still had a solid performance, even playing in those bursts like that. Just, I think by the time he got to the second half, he'd only had about 8 minutes played, but he can make a difference even in those few of minutes, and I think that's what makes him so important to that team. I mean, he played 15 minutes. That's barely, you know, there are guys that come off the bench that played more minutes than him last night, and still, you know, it was 13 points. Only one guy coming off the bench scored more than that. Only three players last night scored more than that period, being Drew Holiday, Brandon Ingram, and then J.J. Redick coming off the bench. But great team performance there by New Orleans, I thought, and really by Utah as well. I don't think we saw as much rust as this regular season picks up, and I think we can attribute that to the scrimmage games. And since everyone seemed to get through those scrimmages without any kind of outbreak or positive testing happening, I think it did help the quality of the game, and it felt as though those guys were able to get back on the floor and get right back into it. And, not a bad showing there from New Orleans. Came up a little short. But still, to be competing against a team like Utah that has clinched their playoff spot and to be that competitive with them in their first game in the restart, I think that's good news for New Orleans, as they're one of those three teams that were within that four-game window to the eighth seed there in Memphis in terms of either trying to hunt them down or forcing that play-in series. So good start for New Orleans. Definitely something I think they can build on as they move forward. And Utah as well. Connolly and Donovan Mitchell each with 20 points. And showing off some real talent there. Then you had Jordan Clarkson as well coming off the bench, giving him, I think, 23 points is what he was able to contribute there. So, again, a lot of good team effort. All five starters from Utah getting into double digits. So good team play there. And then Rudy Gobert also just doing some good work in the paint. Got 3 blocks, 12 rebounds. So, you know, I think both teams, again, just looking good. Looking like well-oiled machines out there. Not quite to the crisp play that we were seeing, obviously, before the season ended. But they had months and months of game time play there leading up to those games. So I think coming back and having those scrimmages and seeing what the level of play was like last night between the Jazz and the Pelicans was very promising. I think looking towards a more full slate today, I think we can expect more of that level throughout the NBA. And again, thanks to those scrimmages, which I wasn't against in terms of the purpose of getting guys back in game shape. I thought that was a great way to do it. I was just worried that, of course, there was going to be a positive outbreak and maybe the season gets interrupted, but it didn't. So hats off to the NBA for getting, you know, scrimmages under teams' belts and getting guys back out there and getting an idea of what it's going to feel like, because not only are you trying to get used to the feeling of live play again, but you're in a totally different atmosphere. You're inside this bubble atmosphere with no fans, no nothing. It's a totally different noise around the game, totally different feeling around the game. So for them to, again, have those scrimmages and then be able to come in and have that kind of performance, it's promising. And then, of course, you had the Clippers and Lakers following up that game with a nail-biter of their own. And, I mean, this is the kind of matchup and the kind of result we want to see when these two teams get on the floor. And you don't have to you know, try too hard to pick up the intensity in this game and to feel the intensity from these two. And, again, just a fun game when the Lakers had that 35-23 lead there after the first quarter. But, again, the Clippers just come storming back, and then it was really just a grind-it-out type of second half that I think we all expect from these two teams. These are the top two teams in the Western Conference. I think we had the idea that these were going to be the top two teams in the Western Conference by the time we, you know, got to this kind of home stretch point of the season. And last night's game, I think, just lived up to that hype. And I didn't know if we were going to see, all of the star players from the Lakers and from the Clippers in this game. I thought maybe they would take a little bit of a, you know, easier route or a little, you know, less impactful route on their first game back, just to make sure everyone can, again, get through it and get in shape. That's what the scrimmages were for. But when you get back in there for real, you know, the first real game of the season restart, you're going a little harder, you're pushing a little harder, especially towards the end. But, you know, neither team really took that as a reason to take minutes off their starters or take minutes off their stars there. So that just made the game even better to see Paul George and to see Kawhi Leonard out there as the game's coming down to an end, to see Anthony Davis and LeBron James out there when the game's coming down towards the close. I mean, the intensity on that court was so just palpable. I mean, you couldn't help but get into it for the last like quarter of that game was just unbelievably fun to watch. And again, really good showings from everybody. You know, Kawhi Leonard had 28 points, Paul George with 30. I think though that's the kind of output we've expected from those two, and they're going to have to keep doing that throughout this bubble run for the Clippers if they want to hang in there. But they're also going to need a more well-rounded. If you look at, I think, the Jazz and the Pelicans, again, that well-rounded team is going to be able to hold themselves up almost as well as teams, you know, like the Clippers that have a Kawhi Leonard and a Paul George, because you have those two guys scoring 58 points between them, then the other three starters had a combined 12 points. So obviously you're going to rely on Kawhi Leonard and Paul George to lead the way for that team, but I think you're going to need more than just two other players in double digits. Those two players being another starter in Reggie Jackson, who had 10 points, and also Patrick Beverley coming off the bench, who had 12. But you're going to need more than just two other guys in double digits if you want to try to contend and make a big run there in the Western Conference. Of course, they were going up against the Lakers, which is arguably the best team in that conference. So who's to say when the Clippers go up against, you know, a San Antonio or a Memphis or a Phoenix, that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George having those kind of outputs, you know, they could be enough for them to get past a team like that. But if you want to try to be a champion of the Western Conference and an NBA champion, if you're the Clippers, then you're going to need a little more from your supporting cast there around Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. But because there have been so many questions about those two and their chemistry between them and how well they're going to be on the court together, because they've just been so kind of on and off in terms of when they're on the court together, how much time they've gotten together this season. So to see that 58-point combined output between the two of them and to have them right there at the end, again, I think it's a positive look for both of these teams. And really, again, just for the first night the NBA is back, you had a very peaceful and unified protest between, I mean, not only just the players, the coaches and the referees also taking a knee there during the national anthem, I believe between the Clippers and the Lakers. I think both games actually had that. But a very unified start to the restart there, seeing those two images, and then, of course, having the Black Lives Matter written across the top of the court there, just seems like a really well-put-together setup that the NBA was able to pull off. And again, having zero positive tests come back from that latest wave of tests just gives you more confidence that we're going to get to see high-quality basketball in a playoff atmosphere come to a true conclusion. And that's really, I think, all we as sports fans have been looking for during these restarts. We just want to make sure that these guys are kept healthy, the quality of play is high, and we have a true finish to the season. So with the NBA showing that their bubble's working, the NHL, of course, which we'll get into later, showing their bubble, their two bubble cities are working, I'm excited. So hopefully that holds up for the NBA. And we can continue to enjoy some high-level basketball there. And like I said, of games really coming up today, some fun ones to look forward to. Obviously, the Boston Celtics and Milwaukee Brewers that go down just a little over 2 hours from now on ESPN. Again, you know, you have the Bucks, top seed in the Eastern Conference, looking to hold on to that. Got a little bit of breathing room between the rest of the field. So we'll see how Giannis and crew are able to come out of the gate during their restart. And then, of course, the Celtics clinch their playoff spot, but they can improve themselves, you know, by a seed. Probably, I don't know if they'll be able to catch the Bucks, but they can at least jump up maybe to the second seed there in the Eastern Conference and really start to challenge the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, again, I don't know if they could catch them, but put some pressure on them, make sure, you know, see if they can stumble a little bit coming down the stretch. Because then even if you don't catch them, maybe, you know, you're in a bit of a better position than they were, and you can just kind of, you know, mess with them mentally a little bit as you get into that playoff run. But I think the Celtics can make that first step today as they play Milwaukee. I think that'll be an interesting game between the two of them to be played today. So you can catch that game, like I said, 3:30. Houston and Dallas, I think is you know, going to be a fun game. How could it not be with those two teams and just the stars that they have? Although it took Houston a while to get kind of their big stars there, I think this is going to be a really entertaining game between both teams. And other games going on today, we have Orlando and Brooklyn, which are actually playing right now. Let's get a little score update for Orlando and Brooklyn. Didn't have my scoreboard up and ready. Rookie mistake. But as we get towards the end of the third quarter, Orlando is leading Brooklyn 101-77. So Orlando putting in a good day's work right now in their first NBA restart. Washington and Phoenix also underway in the first quarter there. Washington has an 8-7 lead over. So that those are the two games going on right now. But some other games to watch. Memphis and Portland go down later today. Actually, they're just about getting ready to get underway. But going on tonight at 5 o'clock, Sacramento and San Antonio, both teams trying to chase down that 8th seed there in the Western Conference. So we will we will see how those games go and how their chase go. Also on Saturday, some more fun games. Utah and Oklahoma City at 12:30 here on the West Coast. We have New Orleans Pelicans and the LA Clippers going down tomorrow at 3 o'clock. That should be a fun one. This could also be a very entertaining game. Lakers and Raptors going down at 5:30 tomorrow. So the Toronto Raptors, obviously the current second seed in the Eastern Conference, trying to close down on the Milwaukee Bucks, 6.5 games back of the Bucks there in the Eastern Conference. So we'll see how they can really test themselves against the Lakers, but that could be a very interesting game. Also, some fun games tomorrow: Miami and Denver, and Philadelphia and Indiana. That could be a very interesting game just to see where both those teams are. You know, Indiana, how are they gonna bounce back, not having Sabonis down low? Is Victor Oladipo going to be out there? If so, what's his contribution like? What's the Philadelphia 76ers look like in their first return to play action? You know, Joel Embiid saying he wants that offense to flow through him, and Philly is trying to figure out how they manage those two stars for this restart. So a lot to watch, a lot going down today and tomorrow, and really up until the end of the NBA season, just like baseball and really just like hockey. When this thing restarts and gets going and picks up steam as it's doing now, it's just going to keep on rolling through to the end. So thank goodness basketball is back. Thankfully, it's looking as though the bubble is holding up and it is working for now. So all we can do is hope that that continues and then just keep taking in the fun basketball and enjoying the fact that live sports are coming back. But we are going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have our pal Terry on the phone. We'll get his thoughts about NBA opening night last night and also some thoughts on baseball and some baseball topics. So that's coming up on the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio, 94.5 FM. Is your technology infrastructure meeting the demands of your customers, your employees, you? How does your network scale to support your growth plans? With distribution hiding behind every corner, it's time you benefited from a network and security provider that will guide your organization through rapid technology change. Blackfoot, here to enable what's next. Visit blackfoot.com/SDWAN to learn more. Welcome back to the show. Our pal Terry Heiser joins us now over the phone. Happy Friday, Terry.
Happy Friday. I am doing well. Just basking in the afterglow of multiple sports being played last night. And need a cigarette after that.
Yeah. Yeah, what you were doing last night is what I'm going to be doing essentially all weekend long, which is flipping back and forth between different live sporting events that are on, which we haven't gotten to do in months.
No, and you know, the only way I was getting my competition fix on was watching like Guys Grocery Games beat Bobby Flay and Chops. And I'm done with that. I'm ready for some real sports, man. Last night was fun. It was great because my fiance just let me have the TV, didn't say nothing, and I love her for it, and she understood. It's great.
That is a very understanding fiance right there. But let's talk about last night, man. I mean, the NBA gets back and up and running again, and first off, what did you think of just, obviously we've had the scrimmages, so we have an idea of what the look will be, but now we have the first kind of full regular season look with the big screen in the background, all the different fans and everything. I mean, what did you think of the full-on layout?
I liked it. It's weird, especially today. Like last, it feels like kind of a March Madness feel, to where everybody's kind of playing at the same place, and so last night kind of felt, obviously on a grander scale, kind of felt like the Dayton play-in games, and then today feels like the first round. You know, because I'm at work watching basketball, you know, and it's just, man, I have a smile on my face. I'm glowing. Now, as soon as if the NFL can start and college football, man, you're not going to get a hold of me for 2 months.
we'll get into the NFL. We'll get into a little bit about college football. But let's talk about the games that actually happened last night, because we had two down to the wire, nail-biting game. So first, what'd you think of the Jazz and Pelicans? Because I think that game surpassed my expectation.
I thought it was good. What got me was they didn't look rusty like I thought they would. I mean, you know, there was some rust. I think the refereeing, the officiating has a little rust. I don't know. I can't remember if it was the first game or second the second game of the night had, 18 fouls in 30 minutes or 30 fouls in 18 minutes or something like that. It was something crazy. But other than that, I thought the action was great. That the end of both games were, oh my God, I missed it so much, man. And I'm never going to take sports for granted again. Ever.
Yeah. I think we can all agree on that. We're never going to take advantage of letting a live event float by us. I'm going to try and catch anything I can right now. I know you're feeling the same way. But then the Lakers and Clippers, I mean, this is the rivalry with the star power both teams have. That's the rivalry we all really want to see right now. I hope that the remaining games between those two go exactly the way last night went. Maybe a different winner, but I hope they're all that close.
Well, I thought, you know, especially with Patrick Beverley on minutes restrictions, they're missing Lou Will and Harrell as well. Man, I thought the Clippers came out and played. I mean, you know, they were behind, you know, here a little bit, but they came back, tied it up. You know, that shot by Paul George was just money, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And then of course, LeBron comes down and rebounds his own miss. You know, it was just quintessential LeBron, you know. And put him up and for good, and that was it. It was, I mean, I'm – I can't find anything bad about it right now, just because it's just so. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice.
Oh yeah.
Like I said, man, I was flipping back and forth between NBA, and I had the Giants game on my phone, and then when that started to get interesting, I flipped it over to the Giants game and watched it. They were down 6-1 at one point and came back to tie it 6-6. It was. I know we'll talk about that later, but it was just, that was my night last night, was just flipping back and forth, and in about 6 weeks, hopefully, if the NFL kicks off, man, we're gonna have three sports, meaningful games being played at the same time. Never seen that before.
Yeah, I mean, we're entering a phase right now as sports fans, unlike any other window or phase we've ever had before, where we have essentially almost every major sport in the United States going on at the same time.
Yeah, and obviously, hopefully, we never see it again, because obviously it was for bad reasons. But as it is right now, we'll take it.
Absolutely, and let's start talking a little bit about baseball, because you said you were watching the Giants and Padres game last night. The Giants did come back to tie it at 6-6 before that 10th inning run there from the Padres. But you know what, the Giants, they've. How do I put this? They're not giving me hope, but I'm enjoying the season more than I thought I would.
Yeah, me too. I have no expectations for them.
Yeah.
As we're starting to find out, Yaz is a star, man.
He is.
And I don't know. I can't believe it's taken him this long to bust through. Being traded from Baltimore to the San Francisco is the best thing that ever happened to him. And then Donovan Solano, I've seen people calling him Donnie Barrels, because that guy just barrels balls.
4-for-5 last night, man.
Yeah. 4-for-5. Yaz was on base 4 times, and even his last out was somewhat productive, you know? And so I think those two are stars. And I don't want Appler's gaff, but that was bonehead on his part.
Yeah.
But, it was funny, because I was like, okay, they're going to cut.
Terry? Oh, I would think we lost Terry.
I'm here.
You're there. There you are. You're back.
Yeah, I'm here. So, you know, cellular technology. when I saw Gabe Kapler go out for the second time, I just went, uh-oh. He's not going to be able to make the switch now. And, you know, he pulled a Mattingly. Mattingly ended up turning it around for the most part after that. But I'm not too worried about that part of it right now. But if he keeps making gaffes like that, Giants are in the world of hurt.
Yeah, gaffes like that. And also, anytime they have to dig into their bullpen, I get nervous. That opening series against the Dodgers – every single time they had to go into their bullpen, I just got a sick feeling in my stomach. Especially, I think it was the third game. They're going into, I think, the eighth inning or ninth inning, with a 5-1 lead, and all of a sudden it cuts down. I mean, they still won the game, I think, 5-4. But that's the kind of experience it's been with that bullpen this year, of just not knowing what you're – because it's not all bad, but it seems to get to a point in every game where it just turns sour.
Yeah, and it really makes you miss Bochy, how he handles.
Oh, yeah.
Not only Bochy, but with Buster. But Buster handles the bullpen, because there were times during Bochy's run where he would leave it up to Buster. Hey, how's this guy doing? What's he doing? And without Posey out there, it's really hard for the manager to get a feel for his bullpen. Now, it's also early. And you're going to get that rotation down and find out who the guys you can rely on and who are the outliers. But I think we're kind of in that transition period now. But, man, without Posey out there handling a staff the way he does, that to me is his number one asset, is how he calls games and handles those pitchers. And they're sorely missing him, you can tell.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we all knew there was going to be a drop-off in quality without Posey out there on both sides of the ball. But you're right. Just that defensive presence, that intelligence on the field in terms of how to talk to his teammates and also how to talk to pitchers, whether it's the starting pitcher or somebody coming in from the bullpen, they are going to miss that, and they've been missing it already. But going back to that, when you say that, you know, they're going to have time to settle in and kind of get these things worked out, even though it's a 60-game season, do you think they're going to get through it? Do you think Major League Baseball? I mean, now we have three games that it's been postponed. They have three teams now testing positive. I mean, I think this starts the slow slide downward. Unfortunately, I don't feel good about saying it, but that's where I feel like it's going.
Yeah, I agree, and this is where, you know, we're starting to see, you know, bubbles. Bubbles are working now. There is a downside to bubbles. You know, if one team gets it, watch out, because it can spread through the whole league. Now, the only positive to Major League Baseball doing it the way they're doing it is they can contain it. They can cancel a few games here and there and get it, you know, because you're not dealing with the whole league in one spot. You know, you're dealing with, you know, all the home fields. But I think in my head, I look at that and I say, okay, they can, you know, they can cancel the Phillies game. They can cancel the Orioles or Marlins or whatever, and kind of keep going. But on the other hand, you look at how successful this bubble has been for the NHL, for NBA, even MLS. MLS started off very rocky in the bubble, but it has since then calmed down and been pretty steady. So I think, you know, there's a good chance we could see bubble NBA start the year next year too, if you know, this virus doesn't settle down.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that there's going to be some kind of bubble atmosphere to start next season for the NBA, probably the NHL, maybe Major League Soccer. They have to figure out what they want to do now with their tournament coming to an end. But you know, I do think that there was a lot of scoffing around the idea of these bubble environments when they first were brought up and laid out. But we've seen that they can be very successful, and you said it. Major League Soccer did have an issue. They were having to send Dallas and Nashville home. They postponed one game very early on. But since getting control of that within the bubble, they've been able to slow down the spread and not have any more positive tests come up. And same with the NBA and NHL. They've been able to now get everybody, you know, in the NBA's case to Orlando, in the NHL's case to Edmonton and Toronto. But they've been able to get everybody where they need to be and have kept them safe. So with baseball now, do you think that they should have tried to go? Because if the way they set up their season, having each division pretty much play themselves in the division from the other league, I feel like they could have done what the NHL did, essentially have a hub city for each division. You know, like each, you know, the East, the Central, and the West could all have gone to their own hub cities.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they're now, you know, especially with who else? Someone else tested positive. Was it someone in the Phillies organization? Right?
Well, yeah. So Philadelphia has had, I think, a member of their coaching staff and support staff test positive, and then St. Louis also just reported they've had two people in there. I don't know if it's players or if it's coaches, but they've had two positive tests come up now, and have, and because of that, they postponed their weekend series. I think against I can't remember who it was supposed to be against, but they had their weekend series this weekend canceled or postponed because of those positive tests in St. Louis. And what I think is worrisome about that is Miami and Philadelphia are in the East, and they played each other.
Yep.
So I can understand that.
Yep.
But St. Louis is by themselves in the Central, so they just got it.
You know what? It comes down to player personal responsibility when you're not in these bubbles.
Yeah.
Now, people say, you know, and we look at the NFL. The NFL's not going to do a bubble system, but the NFL is set up differently. They travel differently. They're in on Saturday, out right after the game. They're not in a city for 3, 4, 5 straight days. You know, they're not the visiting teams are in hotels, and it takes a lot of personal responsibility from those players. Hey, look, you've got to either quarantine, you know, stay within your team. Don't go out looking for wings at strip clubs. And that's, I think, where it comes down to. Now, we've seen with this virus, you can get it anyhow. I mean, anyway.
Yeah.
No matter how careful you are. So I think it's just a matter of, personal responsibility as far as players go, and coaches, and all the support staff. So.
Yeah, it will. It will come down to essentially the trust factor. You know, the MLB and NFL are essentially going to look at their players and coaches and saying, we're going to trust you from this point on not to put your team and any other team players or anybody else in jeopardy if you think you've come down with it or you have a positive test. And we'll see. We'll see. It's going to be an interesting experiment in human nature. You know, are people really going to, you know, follow the rules when they're not in a bubble, when you're not confined to that one space? Are you going to be able to contain yourself? I think Major League Baseball has shown some issues. Not to say the NFL is going to have the same problems, but Major League Baseball has kind of shown us that there can be an issue.
Yeah. And, you know, and I was reading where they're expecting upwards of 250 positive tests for the NFL to start. Okay. Which, you know, and if anything less than that's going to be considered a win, you know. So it's just weird times. Everybody's having to adjust on the fly. Everything's such a fluid situation that, you know, that no matter how much planning goes into something, there's always going to be a monkey wrench thrown in there somewhere, you know.
So, yeah, and especially when you're dealing with a virus that, you know, scientists and people all over the world are trying to figure out some kind of you know, cure for, or vaccine for, wherever it might be, or just some kind of treatment for it. You know, it's just kind of a wild card situation right now. But we'll hope that Major League Baseball can get a handle on it, and we'll hope that they can complete their season. We'll hope the NFL can get through training camp and start their season. But is there anything else, Terry? We got a little more time left here. Is there anything else on your mind you want to get to?
Actually, I was going to ask, what's the plan for the Mountain West and the Wolfpack? I haven't really read much about, are they still trudging ahead like it's a normal schedule?
You know, it's been pretty quiet. I haven't heard a whole lot come from the Mountain West. I think a lot of those smaller teams were waiting to kind of see where the Power Five conferences went. And essentially all five Power 5, at least the SEC, Pac-12, Big Ten, I believe, have all announced they're going to go with their conference-only schedule. I don't know if the Big 12 or ACC. I think the ACC has said they will. But now that
the
some
ACC
of the
has, yes.
Yeah, so now that some of the Power 5 conferences have made their decision, I think we'll start to see more decisions come down from the group of five conferences. But for the most part, from what I hear, football schedule still kind of remains up in the air for the Mountain West.
Okay, and I've been curious about that because, you know, hey, Wolfpack football's king here. And,
yeah.
You know, and I want to know, everything I've seen is there's going to be fans allowed in Mackey. So, you know, obviously to a lesser capacity, but I haven't seen anything else disputing that. So I'm just kind of curious to see how that's going to go through.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really heard any kind of definitive path on that yet. So we'll just have to continue to wait. I mean, I imagine within the next week or two, we'll start to hear more of a buzz. Yeah, we would have to start hearing something soon.
Wolfpack started camp already, no?
Yeah. I mean, players started coming back to campus, I think, as long as a month ago, I think.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. The fact that they had to do it in stages, right?
They did. Yeah, they had to bring back players in stages. Yep. So we'll have to wait. If I hear anything, I'll pass it along to you because I know you're a Nevada supporter. So I'll, and as well as all of our listeners as well, I'll make sure to pass it along as soon as I hear anything. But for the most part, it seems as though it's still being discussed.
Well, good. I hope we have a season because, man, I college football. I love almost all college sports. I mean, just in sports, it's in my blood. It's been in my blood since cutting my teeth on Sports Center with Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann. You know, I mean, it's in my blood, man, and that's what I love. That's my hobby, you know. And you know, people would work. I.
All right. Unfortunately, I think Terry's having some connection problems there, but no, he's right on there. You know, college sports just have a different feel to them, and I'm right there with Terry. Hopefully we can get some kind of college season, especially for Nevada sports, and enjoy that this year. But we'll have to wait and see and where those talks go. But we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the MLB and some NFL news as well. Coming up on the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio, 94.5 FM.
Is your technology infrastructure meeting the demands of your customers, your employees, you? How does your network scale to support your growth plans? With distribution hiding behind every corner, it's time you benefited from a network and security provider that will guide your organization through rapid technology change. Blackfoot, here to enable what's next. Visit blackfoot.com/SDWAN to learn more.
Welcome back. Big thank you again to our pal Terry, even though he had some slight technical difficulties. Big thank you to him for talking to us and sharing his thoughts. And let's talk a little bit more about baseball, because obviously the Miami Marlins have been kind of the story of the league for the wrong reason, and having the whole outbreak of coronavirus. They had 18 players and I believe two coaches as well test positive over the last 8 days or so of the 33 traveling. So essentially 20 of the 33 traveling members for the Miami Marlins tested positive. That's more than half the people traveling for that team. And now they have to figure out what to do next, because they've been doing that daily testing in Philadelphia, getting ready to play a series against the Phillies. That series, of course, being postponed. But that's where the team has been, getting tested daily. But now Miami is getting this fleet of sleeper buses to take those infected players and coaches back from Philadelphia to Miami. So the whole prospect of their season now kind of gets turned on their head, and that's going to be the biggest issue that Major League Baseball has to face, because the running kind of theme of this season was, it's not a marathon this year, it's a sprint. 60 games in 66 days. That was the big kind of tagline for the restart of Major League Baseball season. And with that, you don't have a whole lot of time to make up these games. So a plan that is being kicked around, that at least due to the reports that I've read is being kicked around, is if they pick up their season in Philadelphia, where you know they essentially left off after having their games postponed, they could then take a bus to New York to play the Mets, then go to Buffalo to play the Blue Jays, and then return home. And that means they wouldn't return home until August 14th, when they would play a series against Atlanta. Although if they did that road trip from Philadelphia to New York to play those two different series, and then going back to Miami, there's a 14-day quarantine period for the Miami-Dade County there, which just continues to complicate that whole situation. But you could, in theory, make up a series against Washington, having two doubleheaders during a future series, because Major League Baseball had announced that they are going to implement a 7-game doubleheaders. I believe starting, you know, tomorrow, moving forward through the rest of the season, they can implement 7-inning doubleheaders to get more games in. So I think if more of these games have to get canceled, essentially the last 2 or 3 weeks of this season, you're going to have teams playing back-to-back 7-inning doubleheaders on some games. And if that's the case, you're going to run teams rampant. And, you know, who's to say that maybe the Rays are still in that position they're in now, where they're maybe second in the division, and then they got to start, you know, playing back-to-back doubleheaders for, you know, 2 days, maybe 3 days in a row, and they're going to get worn down. So it continues to get a little messier and a little messier, but, you know, you got to give Major League Baseball some props that they continue to try and keep this show on the road. And in trying to, you know, think of other steps to take, because they've added a compliance officer to these teams to make sure, you know, the correct steps are taken and everyone's following the rules. So they, you know, you got to take your hat off a little bit the way Major League Baseball continues to try and adapt. But then at what point does it just become, you know, worthless to continue to do that? And again, I think as we get closer to mid to late August and, you know, closer to that home stretch there of the season, that could be the real telling period of the coming month, and whether or not Major League Baseball will get their full 60-game season in. Because essentially, if they're not able to, you know, if the Marlins have to cancel more games, and even with those 7-inning doubleheaders, if they're not able to get some of those games back on the schedule, then it's possible they could play, you know, less than a 60-game season. And how do you judge that? How do you judge really where Miami is in the standings if you have teams, you know, like New York or Baltimore or whoever playing 60 games and Miami's at 50 or 52 or some number like that? It just throws a really interesting wrench into the whole into the concept of this season. And then also, you know, kind of like Terry and I were talking about, now the Phillies have, you know, tested positive and have had their series, their coming series postponed. Same with the St. Louis Cardinals. And again, the thing about the Phillies and the Marlins is those teams played each other. There was close contact between those two teams. So it makes sense that, you know, since Miami has it, Philadelphia now has it, even though it was thought that they maybe had escaped that situation without contracting it, still to have a team that now has a total of 20 people testing positive, just to have two people, I think, on the team of Philadelphia test positive, that's still a pretty good way to get out of that situation. But in terms of St. Louis, they're in the Central. So they haven't come in contact with Philadelphia or Miami, so they picked up this virus somewhere, and who knows how long those players have had it, because they've already played two different teams. They've played Minnesota and they've played Pittsburgh. So if you know, those players or whoever it was, coaching staff or whoever had it, and you know, there was some interaction or something happened, they were able to get into the space of Minnesota or Pittsburgh, there's two other teams that might be infected. And that's, you know, kind of like what Terry was saying in the bubble. If someone gets infected, it could run rampant. Well, just because Major League Baseball isn't in a bubble doesn't mean this couldn't run rampant for teams that are still playing each other. Because we saw that between Miami and Philadelphia, and now St. Louis has played two other teams. So this is kind of the risk that Major League Baseball has been running into. And now we see Miami kind of the first real issue with this whole non-bubble type of layout for Major League Baseball. And now with St. Louis, we'll have to wait and see if Pittsburgh or Minnesota show any, if any players or coaches show any signs on those two teams. But, you know, this is kind of the world Major League Baseball has to operate in. Choosing not to go with a bubble or not to go with a hub city. Here you go. And again, hats off to the way they keep trying to, you know, match a solution with a problem. You know, you may have put in the compliance officer with each team. You know, if there's a problem with players or coaches or whoever not following strict protocol, now you have somebody there to help make sure that they do. So Major League Baseball is trying to keep pace with this and trying to keep it so they can keep playing their games, and hats off to them for it. But it seems as though if this is the trend, I mean, if someone on Pittsburgh or Minnesota tests positive for the virus, I mean, that's going to be pretty newsworthy. Not just because, again, obviously of it, you know, someone testing positive for the coronavirus, then you would have two teams in the East and two teams in the Central that have played each other contracting the virus. Then you got to shut down maybe Pittsburgh for a few games. I mean, it could really start to get sloppy, and I hope it doesn't, but that could be what Major League Baseball is walking into. So hopefully they can get Miami, you know, get that situation under control, and you know, be able to move on from it. But this is kind of the hectic reality that sports not inside a bubble right now is going to have to go through. And I hope that the NFL is watching this carefully and closely and taking notes. So if something like this does happen in the world of the NFL during training camp, they can jump on it immediately. Otherwise, they're going to walk into the same issue that Major League Baseball is walking into. And I don't know, with the size of those rosters and in a full-on contact sport, if they'd even make it as long as baseball does if they start pulling up with positive cases. So we'll have to wait and see again, fingers crossed, that you know, this is just, it's limited to these three teams, being Miami, Philadelphia, and St. Louis. They can get through it, baseball can continue, and we can see the end to this shortened 60-game season. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll close out this first hour on the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio 94.5 FM.
Is your technology infrastructure meeting the demands of your customers, your employees, you? How does your network scale to support your growth plans? With distribution hiding behind every corner, it's time you benefited from a network and security provider that will guide your organization through rapid technology change. Blackfoot, here to enable what's next. Visit blackfoot.com/SDWAN to learn more.
Welcome back inside the studio as we wrap up this first hour on Friday, July 31st. I was going to get into racing. We'll get into that at the start of the next hour. Terry and I's conversation going longer than initially scheduled, but nothing wrong with that at all. Always fun. Terry there on the phone and getting his point of view in the world of sports. So appreciate him taking the time to talk with me. And we're going to throw it back to SportsCenter here for the top of the hour. We'll be back on a little after 2 o'clock. We'll talk about racing, obviously, with that coming up this weekend. So we'll talk about that. We got the NHL also starting tomorrow, so I'll give you some predictions for the qualifying play-in and also the the qualifying round-robin tournament as well as the best-of-five play-in matchups there. And we'll also have our pal Rick in here talking about who knows what, but we'll can't wait to hear what he has to say. And then we'll end the day off taking a look at On This Day in Sports. So all that coming up in the second hour, but we are going to throw it back to SportsCenter here for a little while. So we'll I'll talk to you in about 5 or 6 minutes. Peace.